Today's shir is for Eschusfer, for Shlema, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Tzadik Beis. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Aleph on the Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rami Bachama, Ruvain Shemacha Sada L'Shimon. Ruvain sold the field to Shimon, Shloi Bachrayis. And as we've discussed many times, the definition of a Chrayis and Shloi Bachrayis is that if somebody sells a field, Bachrayis means that if that field ends up being taken away from the person who the field was sold to, for example, somebody sold a field, but this person had a mortgage on the field because he had owed money to people. And then if the person who purchased the field, if the person who owed the money doesn't have the way to pay back that loan, so the field is taken away from the buyer. If the field was sold to the buyer with a chrayis, he has recourse back to the person who he bought the field from and said, I bought a field from you and I lost the field now and I need to get compensated for having lost that field. That's when it was sold by chrayis. When a field was sold Shaloi Bachrayis means that the purchaser of the field takes a huge risk. He takes the risk that if this field is taken away from him because of obligations that the seller has, he will not have recourse back to the seller. And that's exactly what happened in this Gemara. Amar Rami Bachama, Ruvain Shemacha Sada L'Shimon, Ruvain sold the field to Shimon, Shaloi Bachrayis. And therefore, if somebody takes the field, if a Baal Choyv of Ruvain takes the field from Shimon, Shimon has no recourse. But what happened here was, Asa Shimon, Umachal Ruvain. This field that Ruvain had sold to Shimon, Shimon sold back to Ruvain. But when Ruvain bought it back, Bachrayis, that if something should happen, he has recourse back to Shimon. And what now happened is that the person who Ruvain owed money to, and took the property away from Ruvain, because Ruvain owed him money. So Rami Bachama was under the impression, if Shimon had sold this property to a third person, not back to Ruvain, the original owner, the original seller. And now that mortgage, that lien that exists on that property back from the time of Ruvain is still obviously there. And if that person came, Ruvain, the original seller, Baal Choyv came and would have collected it from a third party, the party Shimon sold the property to, that party, if Shimon would have sold it to him by Chrayis, that person would have recourse back to Shimon. And Shimon would have to pay him for his loss because he sold it to him by Chrayis. And Shimon cannot go back to Ruvain because Ruvain sold the property to Shimon, Shloi by Chrayis. Suggests Rami Bachama, Shadinu, the Ozel Shimon of Maftzalei. Shimon is now going to have to pay back to Ruvain his loss for buying back the field. Unbelievable. It's Ruvain's Baal Choyv who took the field, but Ruvain is getting paid back for paying what he owed. Amle Rava, so Rava said to Rami Bachama, Nedachrayis the Alma Kibbalay. Indeed, when Shimon sold the field, he took on responsibility that if the person who bought the field from him would lose it, he would have to pay back for that, compensate for that. But Achrayis the Nafshei, did it go all the way that he should also have to take on the responsibility? Achrayis the Nafshei Mikibol Alei, did he take on the responsibility that if it's Ruvain's Baal Choyv that comes, that he should still be held responsible? And the Gemara is suggesting that it's difficult to accept that the property is being taken away from Ruvain because of money that Reuven owns, that Reuven owes, and Shimon should have to pay back Reuven for that. The Ritva, and helping us understand this interesting story, and helping us understand Rami Bachama's thinking, is saying that we have a klal in Shas, Achrayis Tar Sofer, that if there isn't explicitly written into a shtar that there's this responsibility taken or not taken, the assumption is that if it's even if it's omitted from the shtar, you will be held responsible because it's Achrayis Tar Sofer, it's supposed to be there. So I think what the Ritva is trying to do and help us understand the Gemara, it's not that Reuven bought back the field explicitly with Achrayis, that Shimon took upon himself the Achrayis for Reuven's obligations. Because as Rava right away says, it's difficult to accept that Shimon should have to pay that obligation. Rather, it seems that the Ritva learns that Achrayis is an automatic obligation. And since Achrayis is an automatic obligation, what happened here in the Gemara is that Shimon took on the Achrayis because Shimon took on the Achrayis because if it's not that way, it's automatically. The Ritva going on to help understand Rami Bachama's explanation. Because if we learn the Gemara, what Rava says makes so much sense. How could Shimon be obligated to pay back to Reuven for Reuven's debt? Says the Ritva that since Shimon was well aware when he sold back the property to Reuven, that Reuven is the individual who doesn't have any money, and that Reuven is going to lie, and when Reuven's Bal Chayiv shows up, Reuven's not going to have anything to pay him back with other than this piece of property that he just bought from Shimon. So Shimon went into this transaction knowing what he's getting into. So even though it's so hard to accept what happens here, that Shimon should have to pay back to Reuven for debt that Reuven incurred, it's what Shimon took upon himself. But Rava says, as we explained, that it's difficult to understand that should be Shimon's obligation. Continues the Gemara. And therefore, Amay the Rava, Rava agrees to Rami Bachama, but Reuven Shiar is Sodom of Yaakov. Reuven inherited a piece of property from his father Yaakov, or Machol Shimon Shaloi Bechrayis, and now he sold it to Shimon without Achrayis. That means if that piece of property is taken away, he can't have recourse back to Reuven. Vasa Shimon or Machol Reuven Bechrayis. And now Shimon sold it back to Reuven with Achrayis. And now it's not Reuven's Bal Chayiv that's coming to collect that property, but rather Vasa Bal Chayiv de Yaakov for Katara Flemene, the Bal Chayiv of Yaakov comes to collect that property, then even Rava will agree, Dinahu Dazel Shimon Amav Tzlemene, that Shimon will have to pay back Reuven for that piece of property that Reuven bought for him with Achrayis. Explains the Gemara Mai Tama, why is this situation different? That in this situation, even Rava agrees that Shimon would have to repay Reuven. Bal Chayiv de Yaakov, because it's not Reuven's Bal Chayiv that took the property away from Reuven. It's Yaakov, his father's Bal Chayiv, who took the property away. And the Bal Chayiv of Yaakov, even though he's Reuven's father, and even though he's the person from whom Reuven inherited this piece of property, Kibal Chayiv de Alma Dami, it's like somebody that is not connected to Reuven. And since when Shimon sold the property to Reuven, he went into this transaction with his eyes open that he's selling it to him by Achrayis. And as I said a few moments ago, he knew that there's a lien on this property. Therefore, the halacha is that Shimon certainly has to repay Reuven. And as the Rishonim explain, what is the chiddush of this piece of Gemara? As we discussed in the previous year, the halacha is mitzvah al yisoimim lefroya chayv aviyim. Children have the responsibility to pay off their father's debts. And therefore, maybe we would think the debt that Reuven's father Yaakov had is to be considered like a debt that he had. The Gemara is teaching us that that is not the case actually, and that the debt of a father is not considered, the debt of a father is not considered the debt of the son. Says the Gemara, Amar Rami Bachama, Reuven Shemacha Sadal Shimon Bachrayis. Reuven sold a piece of property to Shimon with a chrayis, that if somebody will take away the property from Shimon, Reuven will be held responsibility. V'zokef alav milva. But Shimon did not pay Reuven for the piece of property. He owed him the money. Umeis Reuven. And now Reuven, the person who sold the property to Shimon, passed away. V'asbachoyv de Reuven. And somebody who Reuven owed money to comes now, and Katar Flame Shimon is taking the property away from Shimon, since this property was mortgaged to that loan. And what Shimon did was that instead of giving him the piece of property, Shimon went and paid him off with the cash. The amount of money that Reuven owed to this Baal Chayv, the halacha is he paid off with cash to Reuven's Baal Chayv, because he didn't even pay for the field yet. So what Shimon is saying, essentially, the way to understand the Gemara, what Shimon is saying is that instead of paying the money that I owe to Reuven for the field, I'm going to pay that money to Reuven's Baal Chayv that Reuven owed the money to. Dinahu. And now Reuven's children, what is their situation? Says the Gemara, Dinahu da'amrele b'nei Reuven. The children of Reuven tell Shimon, you owe money to our father. We have a document that when you bought this field from our father, you owe him the money. You didn't pay him yet, and you can't say that you. Well, the money you did pay off that debt by satisfying our father's Baal Chayv, because they could claim a non mitat l'shavach avon gabach. You owe our father money. And if that person who our father owed money to had come to us, we wouldn't have to pay that debt. Because as we've learned previously, that Yisoimim obligation to pay their father's debt. I'm not referring to the mitzvah obligation. I'm not referring to the proper thing to do about Yisoimim paying off the father's debt. I'm talking about what does the halacha say is the father's, are the Yisoimim, when does the Torah obligate, when does the halacha obligate the Yisoimim to pay off the father's debt? The Torah obligates the Yisoimim to pay off the father's debt from Karka, not from a Tatlin. These Yisoimim did not have Karka from the father. The only thing that these Yisoimim had from their father was Metatlin. A non-Metatlin Shavach Avon Gabach, the only thing that we have a Metatlin, whether it was Metatlin that they had, or whether it's the cash that Shimon owes them. And the Aloch is, Metatlin Yasmil Bachoy V'Lei Mishtabdi. That obligation doesn't, the obligation to pay off the debts isn't on Metatlin. And therefore, since it's not that we're not obligated, you shouldn't have paid something that we're not obligated to pay. Because, as Rashi says, that even though Reuven sold the field to Shimon Bachrayis, and if the Baal Chayv would have taken the field, then he would have had a claim. But he didn't take the field. He took the cash. And therefore, the cash is not obligated. And therefore, you had no right to pay the cash. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Ipikech Ida, if Shimon is smart, Magvalei Nala Ara, he should give back to the Yisoimim the Karka. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that, okay, Shimon hears the children of Reuven's claim.
So what Shimon should do now, suggests the Gemara, is go back to Reuven's children, who are making this valid claim against him, and say to them, I owe you, I should have not paid with cash this debt, your father's Bal Chayv. So I'm giving you back a piece of property. And now I could collect it back. Had the government, and now I could collect back the piece of property because this piece of property was sold to me by Chrayis. Rav Nachman, and says the Gemara, this is consistent with Rav Nachman. Torah, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Yisoyim should go with Karka b'chayvus of him. If Yisoyim have property that their father left them, b'chayv, chayvus v'goyvus mehem, there, as we said a few moments ago, there is an obligation, a required obligation, for them to use the Karka to pay off their father's debts. And they can't say, well, this price of property we didn't get from our father. Because since this piece of property came to them because of a debt that the father owed, so this piece of property is considered a piece of property which is in the control not of the Yisoyimim, of the Baal Chayv. And since there's a lien on it, there's a double lien on it. There was a lien from the Baal Chayv, and there's a lien from Shimon. The halacha is that he could pay it off. So Tosfos asked the kasha, what is the Gemara says, Ipikeichu, if he's smart, where's the big brilliance here? The halacha is that you can't pay off an obligation with property if you owe money. In other words, what's the Gemara saying? That Shimon, who had bought the property from Reuven and owed Reuven money, and obviously has cash. He had cash to pay off the Baal Chayv of Reuven. If he had cash to pay off the Baal Chayv of Reuven, he can't use property to pay back Reuven's Yarshim. He has to use cash to pay off those Yarshim. And as we're learning in the Gemara, the only way that this will work is if he has property, but he can't use property in that case. So Tosfos answers the halacha that you could pay property you could pay off your loans with property is not limited to a case where you don't have cash. The halacha is that it's any case where my paying off the loan with property will save me aggravation. The halacha is I could pay off the loan with property. And therefore, even though Shimon may have cash, and that's what he's owing, that's what he owes Reuven, and now that's what he owes Reuven's Yarshim, but as the Gemara just explained, if he would give them cash, that would put him in a very weak position. If by paying cash it puts you into a weak position, then it's different. And the way I saw the other Rishonim, which I think they're all trying to say the same point, the Miri takes a whole different approach. The Miri's approach is that the person, Shimon, actually doesn't have cash. The only thing he has now is that piece of property that he had bought from Reuven. I think what the Miri's trying to say is that if he had cash, we would have a problem with Tosfos' kasha. So that's why Miri explains the Gemara speaking about that Shimon has no cash. But all the other Rishonim explain that Tosfos explained because paying the cash would put him into a weak position. Other Rishonim say, since everything evolves around this piece of property, if he was maybe giving him a different piece of property, giving back Reuven's children a different piece of property, so Reuven's children could say, a different piece of property we don't have to accept if you have cash, and that's what you owe our father. But he's not giving back a different piece of property. He's giving back the piece of property that he bought from Reuven. That is not, on that, the halacha isn't that if I have cash, I can't pay with karka. The Rabbeinu Shimshon takes a whole different approach to our Gemara. The Rabbeinu Shimshon says that the approach of this Gemara is to be understood with the famous Shibudid Reb Nosson. If Reuven owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Levi money, Reuven should pay Levi. And that's why paying this way would be acceptable, because Shibudat Reb Nosson supersedes, I think, what Rabbeinu Shimshon is saying, supersedes the halacha that cash should be paid if you owe money rather than karka. Amaravan says, Rabbi, Ruven Shemach Kosos Doisel L'Shimon. Ruven sold in one transaction, in one shtar, all of his property to Shimon. And amongst his property, as we often discuss in our shiurim, there were different grades of property. There was Idyas, which is the best, there's Bainas, which is average, and Zaborius, which is the weakest. And Rashi, the very Maskel Kol Sodoysov, explains this Gemara, that the Gemara is speaking specifically that it was sold in one document. Because if it was sold in different documents, then the halacha would be that we always look at the latest document when it comes to collecting, if there's going to be a lien on this property. So again, Reuven Shemach Kosel Doisel L'Shimon, V'chazor Shamim V'machas Soda Achas L'Levi. Simon went and sold one of the Beninus properties to Levi. Now Bal Chayv de Reuven comes to collect this Chayv. And we know that the halacha is that a Bal Chayv, when he's collecting property, the type of property he's entitled to collect is Beninus. So it says the Gemara Rotsim Yizeh, if he wants, he has recourse to Shimon, who's still holding on to some of Reuven's properties and collect, but he's not holding on to Beninus property, but he could collect Idis property from Shimon, or Rotsim Yizeh Goyva, he could go to Shimon, because he could say to Shimon, you bought all of Reuven's properties. That's why I was so careful to, the Gemara was so careful to say that he bought all of the properties. By Shimon buying all of Reuven's properties, what that made Shimon into is that Shimon now is Reuven. And Shimon is obligated to pay off Reuven's debts. And as long as you have any property that you had brought from Reuven with you, I have recourse to you. Because when you bought all of Reuven's properties, you assumed upon yourself all of Reuven's debts. On the other hand, says Rabbah, he also has the right, Ratzah Mizeh Goyva. He could go to Levi. Because he could go to Levi and says, the lien that I had on Reuven was on this specific piece of property. The lien I had was on the Beninus. And even though Levi could claim to this Bal Chayv, well, I was very careful not to buy all the property that Shimon bought from Reuven, because I left property by Shimon that I knew there's obligations from Reuven, and I wanted you should be able to go to Shimon and not come to me. The answer is, you bought the specific piece of property. You bought the specific piece of property in which I had the lien, and that specific property that you bought is the property that I have a right and want to go after. Says the Gemara, V'loy Amarin, this halacha is, as we just explained, that the Zovna, the Levi, bought from Shimon the Beninus property. Because on this, that's when the Bal Chayv could say to Levi, this is the specific piece of property on which I had the lien. Av Zovna Idnis Ziburius. But let's say Levi bought from Shimon Idyas property, Zaborius property, but deliberately did not buy Beninus property, Matzah Armalei. That's what Levi could exactly say to the Bal Chayv. Lohorchi v'tarchi v'zivni aradloi havela chaziolach. I knew what's going on here. And I knew that buying the Beninus property could put me in a precarious position. So I went out of the way not to buy Beninus property, and therefore you have no claim against me, says the Gemara. Furthermore, Levi could say, I protected myself, or Beninus nami loy amarn el deloy shavak Beninus de kavasa, that he did not leave with Shimon any Beninus property. Avo shavak Beninus de kavasa, if he left Beninus property with Shimon, matze amrlei, so Reuven, the Bal Chayv, Levi, have a very strong claim by saying, "Hinachti l'chamokim ligvus mimenu." I went out of the way to specifically leave Beninus I specifically went out of the way to leave Beninus with Shimon, that if I know you're coming to collect, you should go to him and not to me. Amar Abaya, Reuven Shemach said to Shimon Lebechrayis. Reuven sold a piece of property to Shimon with a chrayis. Vos Balchoyv de Reuven, and Reuven's Balchoyv comes the Katar Flemene, and he wants to collect it from him. Obviously, it's important to say that the only time that Reuven's Balchoyv could come after Shimon is if Reuven has nothing to pay off his obligation. Always does Reuven's Balchoyv have to go to Reuven's first. But only if Reuven the Loiver doesn't have where to pay off his debt from, that's when he could go after the Meshubadim. So the Asa Balchoyv de Reuven, so the cases as I just discussed, Reuven apparently doesn't have any thing to pay off the debt with. And now, what Reuven says, that to Shimon, before this person comes to take from you what he says belongs to him, because there's a lien on this property, he tells Shimon, I already paid off this debt, and I'm demanding that before you, Shimon, pay off my Balchoyv, the Balchoyv has to swear that he did not get paid yet. Or another claim the Rishonim say, that Reuven could say, is that this Balchoyv that I owe money to owes me money. And therefore, you, Shimon, don't have to pay off this debt, because he owes me money and the debts are canceling each other out. So the question here is Reuven a party to this dentira? Says the Gemara, Dinu Dazal Reuven and Mafzalei. Reuven could make these claims. V'loya Matze Amalei, and the Balchoyv can't say to Reuven, La Bal Devarim D'Diat, why are you mixing in? I'm not coming to you, I'm coming to Shimon. Mishum Damalei, because Reuven, of course, has a claim to say, well, if Shimon's going to pay you, what's going to happen? He's going to come back after me. So, of course, I'm a party to the distant Torah. The Mafkas Menelai Hadar, he's coming back after me. Says the Gemara, Ve'ikadamri, Afilu Shloi Bechrayis Nami. Then not only is the halacha this way, if Reuven had sold the property to Shimon with a chrayis, where Shimon is ultimately, if he's going to lose this property, he's going to come back after Reuven. But even in a case, Shafila Shloi Bechrayis Nami, even if he sold the property Shloi Bechrayis, he could say that I'm a party to this Tentaira. Why can he say I'm a party to this Tentaira? Don Malay, because Reuven could say, yes, Shimon will pay you, he has no recourse after me, he bought the property Shloi Bechrayis. But Reuven could claim, Lo Nichli, that the Havel is Shimon Trumas Alai. That doesn't mean that Shimon isn't upset that when he has to pay up this piece of property, and even though he can't have recourse to me. And that's enough to make me a party to this Dentaira and to have claims that I could set forth in this Dentaira. So the Rishonim asked the question that when somebody comes after a piece of property on which there's a lien, the obligation of Beis Din is to look after the lokeach. The concept is often called tanin and the lokeach. The whatever possible claims Reuven could have, Beis Din raises on behalf of Shimon. So they ask, why in Al Gemara do we need Reuven to raise the claims? And we need the Gemara to tell us that even though Reuven is not a direct party to this Tentaira, he's considered a party to this Tentaira, Beis Din raises these claims even without Reuven raising the claims. And even if Shimon the buyer doesn't have any facts to bring such claims up, it's still enough for the Beis Din to have to bring up those claims and for the Balchoyv to have to answer to those possible claims. So Taisus Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Alef, Divrei Maskil Dina, asks this question and says that part of what the Gemara is teaching us here is that if the Baal Chayiv is going to have to swear, he's going to be much more uncomfortable swearing to Reuven than swearing to Beis Din. Because Beis Din, who's raising these claims, are only raising the claims as a if. Maybe this is the case. But Reuven knows the truth. And therefore, he's going to be much more uncomfortable to lie in front of Reuven. Another explanation that Tysus offers is that Reuven may be a sharper businessman than Shimon. And when we're having this dentira between the Baal Chayiv and Shimon, Reuven says, I will be able to raise the claims in a more sharp, effective way than you, Shimon. Vamabaya. Reuven Shemach said to Shimon Shloi Bechrayis, V'yotzlov Asikin. There were people, there were rumors that came up that the field really doesn't belong to Reuven. It belongs to us. Actually, Hichsik, until Shimon did a chazok in the field, until Shimon took ownership in the field, the halacha is Yochel Achsabai. Shimon can walk away from this deal. But once Shimon took ownership of the field, how do you take ownership of the field? By making a chazaka. The halacha is that makes you owner of the field. And the way Rashi says that we're speaking here in a case where Shimon had not yet paid for the field. And since Shimon had not yet paid for the field, he also didn't make a kinyan, so the field isn't his. And that's why he could back out. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says that even in a case, if Shimon gave money for the field, we're talking in a place where a deal on piece of property is not considered final, says Rabbeinu Tam, until a shtar is written. And the fact that he paid doesn't mean anything. And as we will discuss, what the Chiddush of the Gemara is, that since he paid, but he didn't make a kinyan, you're not allowed to back out, because the Gemara often says that somebody who backs out of such a situation is oiva mishapara, that you're not holding your word. Here, it's not considered a violation of mishapara. Rivam says a bigger Chiddush. The Rivam says that he paid for the field. And we're talking in a place where payment is considered a kinyan. Says the Rivam, what our Gemara is teaching us, the halacha is that in a field, even though you made a valid kinyan with money, until you actually take a chazaka on the field, it's not considered valid. It's not considered that it's your field, that you can't back out in the case of our Gemara with Yotzel of Irim. However, the Rivet and the Rif have a very interesting discussion. And that is, so how long do you have this right? Especially according to the Rishonim, that you paid for the field, you didn't have a chance yet to make a chazaka. The halacha is that at what point do we say, now you're waking up and backing out of the deal? So the Rivet says you only have a right to back out of the deal if you didn't have enough time to have gone to the field and made a chazaka on the field, gone to the field and made the proper examination. But to say without any time limitation, the Rivet and disagree, says this is not acceptable. The Rif says no. The Rif says, the Algamar says, as long as you didn't make the chazaka, you could walk out. But the Gemara clearly indicates, once you made a chazaka, and even though there are Irim on this field, and you're making a claim, I didn't buy this field to have this headache, the halacha is any yachalachs, but you can't back out. Shemdamalei, because the seller could say to the buyer, Reuven could say to the buyer, Chayesed the Katri Savit V'Kibda. Rashi explains, you were willing to accept a bag full of nuts, a bag full of ear, as if you bought a bag full of silver. You went into the deal. Nobody forced you to buy this field. And when you bought it. And if there are issues, then they're your problem. The way I saw other Rishonim explain the Gemara is that sometimes somebody buys a bag. He doesn't know what's in the bag. And he accepts the whatever it is. Sometimes I make a great deal, and sometimes it's a poor deal. And that's what happened here. You entered this deal with your eyes open, and then you're responsible. Ask the Gemara, Ma'emus Machzikba, from what point is it considered that you made a chazakah that you can't back out? Michidaisha Mitzri. That Rashi explains that as soon as you work on the borders around the field, Tosfos explains that so you don't have to work on the borders. As long as you walk around the field, that's considered an act of chazakah. The Rif explains that what it means is that let's say this person owns the adjoining field, and until now it was a gate separating his field and this field, and now he takes away that gate because he owns both fields. That's called dayish amitzri. That shows that he's doing full-fledged ownership, and even though there's Irem on this field, it doesn't make a difference. The Rishonim to speak about what would be the halacha if he wasn't aware of the Irem before he did the chazakah. So the Rashba explains it doesn't make a difference. It's considered his field. Others want to say that the order of the Gemara, that the order, the way the Gemara explains itself is very specific. He was aware of the Irem and he did the chazakah. But if he wasn't aware of the Irem, then he won't be held responsible. So the Ma'ikadam Rafila Bachrayis Nami, that even in the case where Reuven sold his field to Shimon Bachrayis, the halacha is he can't back off after he made a chazakah, Damalei, because Reuven could say to Shimon, the Irem only emerge now. Pay what you owe, achvei tircha, and if the field will be taken away from you because of the people who will end up having a claim, a valid claim, the way Rashi explains, if the property would be taken away from you, and achvei shtar tircha mibezdin, and you'll bring proof that you lost this field because there were good claims against this field, I will then. And Bezdin will have verified that you should pay it, then the loch is a shalom loch that I will have to pay it. The Rosh, however, explains that this entire Gemara is referring to a situation of Irem. Says the Rosh, what's the definition of Irem? The definition of Irem is that people have a claim, and people say we have a claim and we're going to take you to Bezdin, the field really belongs to us. And that's when all the details we just learned in the Gemara apply. But says the Rosh, if it's not just, he says the Irem means the people who have a claim, but it's not open and shut. But says the Rosh, if it's a case where these people, these Irem, have a deed that without any question shows that this field belongs to them, then under all circumstances, the buyer could go back to the seller. Shimon could go back to Reuven and says, you sold me something you don't own. And since you sold me something that you don't own, I don't have to pay for it. Take it back. And I'm not getting involved. I'm not getting involved in this case. Rashi made the point that this entire discussion was only, the Rashi allows the buyer to retract prior to Kinyan Chazakah, only if he didn't pay for the field, as we said earlier. Tosfos says that even if he paid for the field, as long as the Chazakah wasn't done, the halacha is he could still back out. Because, as we said, Tosfos one pshat, since they didn't do the Kinyan Chazakah, it's not really considered his field. But Tosfos says that under normal circumstances, if somebody backs out of a deal, even though he didn't make the kinyan, he's the subject of the curse. Amisha para midar hamabel midar aflaga. The Kaddish Baruch Hu who retributed the dar hamabel dar aflaga for not doing the right thing will pay. You should also be served retribution for not keeping your word. Tosfos, however, points out that the curse of Misha para only applies by the sale of karka. And Tosfos seems to suggest that it also applies by metaltlin. Many Rishonim, however, suggest that the din of Mishapara, the curse of Mishapara, only applies by karka, but not metaltlin. But even according to those Rishonim that say it only applies by karka, not by metaltlin, the halacha is that one has to keep his word. And for example, the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Memches, Memtes, discusses that if somebody said he's going to give his friend a gift, and then he backs off, the halacha is he's not supposed to back off. He shouldn't violate his word, even if the declaration on its own really has no legal significance.